Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
All right, good morning. And welcome to church. If you're new here today, we don't normally start our services this way, but I thought I'd start off a little different. See, I wanted to start with a confession. And why not, right? We're in church. See, I'm a failure. I am. I'm a failure when it comes to keeping my New Year's goals. And the reason I bring it up today is we're in that time of year where I'm starting to think about doing it again. Now, New Year's goals are nothing new, right? We've all probably done them. And they actually date back to before Roman times. But have you ever wondered what New Year's goals people are making? I have. And I gathered the top five that were made in 2019. And here they are, no particular order. Eating better, exercising more, spending less money, losing weight, and learning a new skill. Any of those sound familiar? Now, for me, I've made most of those resolutions at some point in my life. And when it comes to exercising more, my process is normally the same. Sometime around this time, December-ish, I'm watching TV, and I'll see an infomercial for the next great exercise program. And it promises to get you in fantastic shape for the summer. You seen these infomercials? Here's the best part. It only takes 10 minutes a day. In 10 minutes, you're going to get in fantastic shape. Now, I don't buy those programs anymore because my wife doesn't let me. But it does get me so motivated, I say to myself, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in fantastic shape for the summer. Now, if you ask the experts, the most important thing about any exercise program is you got to set a firm start date. And I do that. I set a date of January 1. That's the day it's going to change my life. And as the weeks go by, I start thinking about my New Year's Eve plans. And I say, you know what? I better make this January 2nd. So I already concede one day before I start, but that's okay. I get all my meals ready for the week, and I get in the gym. Have you ever been in a gym in January? It's crowded, right? So you know I'm not the only one with this resolution. But I press through the crowds, and things are going great. Maybe the end of January, I miss a day. No big deal. February rolls around, we get some snow. I miss another day. No problem. But then March rolls around, and I hit an obstacle. Something either happens at home, something happens at work. And the next thing you know, I end up stopping. And it's difficult to get started again because something else is occupying my time. And for the longest time, I always thought it was just me. Until one day, I found a university study that was done on this very topic. And here's what it found. 92% of people that set a New Year's goal never achieve it. 92% of people start, but they never finish. So what does that mean for me? Well, statistically, it means I'm normal. But let's face it, it's not just resolutions, right? People start and stop lots of things. Jobs, careers, projects around the house. What about relationships? You know, people that have stopped in relationships and started? But I'm here to tell you, it can also be in your faith. It could be anything that you start, but you don't finish. Now, a little bit of background on myself. My family has been coming to True North for about 11 years. I'm a father of three, and my wife and I have been together for over 30 years, high school sweethearts. And this year, This year, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. You can clap for that one. My wife is over here. Now, here's why I bring it up. Nobody knows me better than my wife. We've been together our whole adult life. But at some point in my marriage, my wife, she started to change. Now, if you're married or in a relationship, you could probably relate to this. If you're single, maybe not so much. But about 10 years into my marriage, I'd come home from work, and there would be these lists on my refrigerator. You know what I'm talking about? The to-do list, the honey-do list. And my wife's read something like this. Finish painting the stairs in the garage. Finish the bathroom trim. Finish the basement ceiling. Now, that's just a partial list, but you get the picture. But here's what I learned from those lists. Two very important things. The first one is for the newly married guys here. Number one, your wife is going to really keep track of everything you do. And number two, even though the end results were different, the basement, the ceiling, the end results were all different, the beginnings were exactly the same. They all started with the word finish. Now, that doesn't mean my house is falling apart, but like my resolutions, my wife recognized that when it comes to starting projects, I'm great. But when it comes to the little things in the end, to actually finish it to completion, filling in nail heads, painting the trim, I fall short. And I leave my stuff almost finished. And it's discouraging to know that that's how I am, that this is the way I'm wired. Because if I'm doing that kind of stuff with my projects, am I doing the same thing in my faith? Am I here today in a relationship with God only to run the risk of not finishing in it? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt in your own life like you were unfinished? You are. We all are. But here's the good news. God is not done with you. God knows about your faults. God knows about your distractions. And when it comes to your faith and salvation, God knows you can't do it on your own. When you come up short in your faith, God won't. Because God always finishes what he starts. If you remember the story of Moses, or if today's your first day in church, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt where they were being enslaved. And they wandered the desert for 40 years until they reached the promised land. 40 years. God didn't leave Moses in the desert. It may have taken time, but God finished what he started. Today, we're going to dive in and look at the book of Philippians. And if you're not familiar with Philippians, in the New Testament, there were 13 letters that are attributed to one author, and that's the Apostle Paul. Philippians is one of those letters. Now, about 10 years prior to writing this letter, Paul founded the Church of Philippi on one of his missions trips. And they were Paul's biggest supporters. They supported Paul's ministry with gifts and offerings. So he writes this letter as a letter of gratitude, as a letter of thanks for all of their support. So we're going to dive in and look at Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. Here we go. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul thanks God and he prays with joy when he thinks of them. That gives you, right in the beginning, an understanding of the affection he had for the people of Philippi. Here's verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work. When you put your trust in God, he starts the good work in you. But more than that, God will finish what he starts with a promise of an eternal life. See, Paul understands death is not the end. But what stands out to me more than anything is what Paul says in the beginning of verse 6. Did you catch that? Now, Paul doesn't start out by saying he's got a pretty good idea about this. Paul doesn't start out by saying he hopes it all works out. He starts out and he uses the word confident. Being confident of this. Now, we've all had moments in our life when we've been confident, right? Maybe you're asking someone out on a date. You were confident that they were going to say yes, and they did. Or maybe when you were in school, you had a big test that was coming up. You spent more time in the library than you ever had before, and you just knew. You had all this confidence in yourself. You were going to pass the test, and you did. But Paul, he had more reason than anyone to have doubt and be discouraged. See, Paul wasn't writing this letter sitting at home in front of a warm fireplace. Paul was being persecuted at the time he wrote this letter. He was imprisoned at the time he wrote this letter. And in those days, prisons were not the prisons you know of today. They were dark, damp, dirty. They were literally dungeons. And it gets worse. Most people weren't sent to prison in those days for life. There were no life sentences. You were either in prison waiting trial or waiting an execution. And most historians believe this is probably one of the last letters that Paul wrote while imprisoned. And he probably felt he was close to death. So just imagine what's going on in Paul's mind for a second, knowing his life could be over at any time. His faith was tested every single day. So why was he confident? We find the answer in the word. When you look at the word root of confident, con means with, and the Latin word fides means faith. You realize Paul was with faith, but not in himself. Paul knew he was helpless. He's being persecuted. His faith comes from God's promise to finish what he starts. He's reminding us to trust in God. And I know it's not easy trusting in someone other than yourself. We've been programmed not to trust. And all you have to do, we're living in a world right now when there's less trust than ever before. Just turn on the TV. I get it. I've struggled with it myself. You know, my youngest son, who was up here today playing the keyboards, he took his first flight lesson when he was 9 years old. 9 years old. And since that moment, he's always wanted to be a pilot. And at 17, he got his driver's license, like most kids, right? But he also got his private pilot's license. So he can just call the airport, schedule the plane, and go wherever he wants. Just like you would jump in your car to go to Chick-fil-A for lunch, he jumps in a plane and goes to Massachusetts or Maryland for lunch. And he has. And he's had his classmates in the air with him, his friends. He's had his brother up in the plane with him. My wife's been in the plane. But I hadn't gone. And everybody that saw me kept asking me the same thing. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back? And it wasn't until I started putting this message together that I realized what it was. See, I'm not afraid of heights. I don't have a fear of flying. I've flown lots of times, like most people in the room. It's a fear of putting my confidence in him. See, when my kids were learning to drive, I drove with them all the time, right? All three of them. And if they got in trouble, I was there to help. I'm the one who had the experience. But at 8,000 feet in the sky, above the clouds, right? If he gets in trouble, I can't help. I am helpless. I have to have all my confidence and trust in him to fly. But you know what? I did. I went flying with him for the first time about a month ago. I stopped letting my lack of confidence hold me back. I think we have a picture too. I want you to think about something today. When it comes to your confidence in God, not just today, not tomorrow, but every day, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back? Because it's true. When you put your confidence in God for your life, he will finish. I just told you that. But you have a part to play in that. It doesn't just happen. Your actions affect the outcome. What today, right now, is still unfinished in your life with God? Are you honoring God with your finances? Are you involved in something you know you shouldn't be involved in? See, our journey in faith, it's a process in which we never complete in this lifetime. And it takes time. And you have to work at it. And there's going to be ups and downs along the way. Life is going to happen. There's going to be good times and bad times. But you know what? God's not behind you. God's not in front of you. He's right beside you. And all you have to do is put your confidence in him, and he will finish what he started in you. Paul goes on to say, this is Philippians 2, verse 13. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is working in you. God is working to finish what he started in you. For someone here today, God is starting today. He has a plan for you. You know, when a builder builds a house, we're familiar with that on Long Island, A builder follows a plan, right? Your faith is no different. God is following a plan. He's not winging it. And in the end, he will finish his plan to completion, just like a builder would. You know, the people that are here today that know me, and some friends and family have come out, know that in my spare time, I like to build stuff. And I like to watch shows on TV that build things. And it doesn't even matter what they're building. It could be cars, tiny houses, off the grid. Right now, I'm in a pallet phase. I'm building stuff out of pallet wood. So about 9 years ago, I'm watching a show on TV, and I decide, you know what? I'm going to restore a car. Sounds like a fun project, right? I could do it with my oldest son. So I go out, and I get a 1978 Pontiac Trans Am. Now, you might be sitting here today saying, wow, that's pretty cool. And I am cool. But I don't know the first thing about restoring a car. But I go out and I get a compressor, I get a welder, I got the welding helmet, I get all the tools. And I'm setting out on this task to restore this car. And what do you think happens? Not much, right? I probably should have let in with the fact that I don't know how to weld. But over time, I've gotten some help, I've asked around, you'd be amazed at what you can find online, and I'm making some progress. Here's my point. When it comes to the stuff in this life, like my car project, my confidence when I start is in me. It's all up to me to finish. Now, I might pray to God for guidance, I might pray to God for wisdom, which I did, but I'm not expecting God to do the welding for me. See, it's all up to me to finish. I have a part to play in restoring this car. It doesn't just happen. In your faith, the only thing stopping the completion of the construction in your life is you. But if you honor God, you love others, and you serve all, things that we've heard here at True North, if this is your home church, if you live your life with a purpose, when you do those things, you can be confident, really confident, that God is going to finish what he started in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Lord, as we enter this Thanksgiving week, let us be thankful that you have begun the good work in us. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the confidence that you will finish it to completion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.